relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
First time that they shout, "This is America!" Shad, can we turn that into a liner? Can you clip that out?
I'll do my best. The crowd sounds are pretty elaborate. I know, but
it's just, it grabs me. Let's ask a real radio pro. She is our West Coast warrior princess. You have to follow her right now on Twitter. Jennifer Horn, are you there?
I am here, and I had goosebumps watching that video as we came in.
Wasn't that great? I mean, you said, we're talking in the break, we're talking to the host of The Morning Answer and the Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Of what, we've got like five cuts from the county, Loudoun County meeting last night, but that's the best.
That is the best one. And you know what? It's something that I've heard you say, Seb. I've said it too. When we talk to groups of people, everybody always wants to know how they can get involved. And what you do is you show up, you are present, and you get to those school board meetings because that's where it all starts. That's where the indoctrination begins, and this is where our fight needs to be. Dennis Prager has said that the left has been at war with us for four decades, and it took President Trump to wake us up. And boy, those parents in Loudoun County, they were woke and did my heart good. They didn't want to sing the national anthem. They didn't want to say
the pledge.
No,
they were based, not woke.
That's right.
She's been working hard. Terminology, it matters.
It does.
No, and
we had them there, and they just did it.
And we had two of them on the show, and it's fun. Back me up, Shad. Didn't I say 10 days ago, it's as if every day there's a new video, right?
Yeah, you said it's every week, and it became every day.
It's every day. It's crazy.
Sometimes twice a day.
I know, sometimes twice a day there's a video. Tell us about what you're seeing in California. Is there an echo of the giant awakening in California? Is there hope? Talk to us.
Yeah, our awakening starts with the letter R, and California has become so recall happy. And I'm happy about that. It's not just Gavin Newsom now. It's the district attorney, George Gascon. And these groups are being formed by victims' families. You know, the big lie from George Gascon these days is that it's you know, a right-wing conspiracy. These are MAGA donors. These are Trump people who are trying to
QAnon.
Take him on.
QAnon.
QAnon. The group has been founded. One of the loudest members of the group is a woman who describes herself as a Democrat whose child was killed over a case of mistaken identity with gang members. She's the one. There's also a recall now on one of the LA City Council members, Mike Bonin, because he has been completely inept when it comes to the homeless crisis in California. Chesa Bodine, who is the district attorney in San Francisco, a recall on him. So people are waking up. Not only are they getting involved at the level of school board, but they're also starting to organize. And the people behind the Recall Newsom effort have done something so incredible. They've combined grassroots support, and they've combined this magic potion of mail order and advertising, and they've been able to gather signatures needed to get Gavin Newsom in playing defense, right? Playing offense, essentially, trying to avoid this recall. And now, because they have this powerful mix of activists and this equation that works, there are all kinds of initiatives in California that are being floated around that are going to be so incredible for conservatives, for independents, for patriots, for people who just, for crying out loud, value safety and they want a good education
now,
for their kids.
Now, maybe 3 weeks ago, if I remember well, you were saying as if, you know, he's re-cemented himself. He's just buying votes. Has the pendulum swung in the other direction perhaps recently?
You know, I don't even know if it matters. I was speaking to a group yesterday. The message has been sent. And yes, it's possible that Gavin Newsom survives this recall. And I still think probably the chances are that he will. But the message has been sent that California is going to fight back, that it's not just Republicans. It is people who are coming together, waking up together and seeing what the left has done to this country. And so whether or not the recall succeeds, the success is already there. The fact that we can do something like this and we can copy the strategies that were used in organizing, I think that all is huge. The fact that we've sent a message to the rest of the country that the furthest left state with the most leftist governor, that's not acceptable when they don't fulfill their duties. And we will fight back. So the message has been sent. Whether or not he survives, I think the damage has already been done. You see the Biden administration scrambling today to try to take on law and order. It's because, I believe, really strongly, it's because of these recalls and because Americans, not just political parties, are coming together and pushing back and saying we are not a country that defunds the police. We are not a country that prioritizes criminals over victims. And we're speaking out. I feel really good about our future. And that optimism continued last night when I saw that school board meeting.
All right, we have to get to some stories, some big stories here to do with El Pollo Loco and 42 tons of pistachios. But before we get to the big stories like that, I have to ask you this.
The pressing news.
Hey, I like pistachios. If I had to, I could live on pistachios. But we'll get to that in a second.
All right.
I've been wanting to talk about it for the last 2 hours, and I'm just running out of time because we've got so many great guests, and we've got you as well talking to us about what's going on in California, the recall. But I have to ask you, you are a West Coast warrior. Tell us, as a media maven who's trained in media and strategic communications, what would happen? I wanted to just change this story. What if 3 years ago, Donald Trump Jr. had spent $25,000 on Russian hookers and crack in the fanciest hotel in California and used Donald Trump Sr.'s credit card to pay for it? Because that's the story that we now have, thanks to the Daily Mail and the New York Post. We have the evidence from Hunter Biden's laptop that this is what he did with Joe Biden's credit card. But what would the ramifications have been if this story had broken a year ago and it was Donald Trump Jr. and the president's credit card?
Oh, my gosh. The gleeful screams from the news media, they would have been stoked if this were Donald Trump Jr., if this were Eric Trump. They would have loved this story, and they would have ridiculed him. They would have made fun. They would have done Saturday Night Live sketches. They probably would have done a special, for crying out loud, to talk about this. For people who haven't read this story, this is incredible. He picked out escorts. He apparently tried to charge or tried to use his credit card or his Venmo
multiple times.
Yeah.
And was declined.
And imagine using Venmo. Like, what do you put in the description?
$8,000 of Parmesan cheese.
Maybe you just use a little dancing girl emoji. I mean, is that what you put up there in the description? I don't know. So he can't use his own money because clearly he's out. And so he reaches in and he gets a hold of daddy's credit card. And he's got the Secret Service then at his door because I guess with the chargebacks and the overcharges, there was like a sum of $25,000 that was transferring back and forth between these women. This guy's a wreck, and this is not 20 years ago. This is 2018.
3 years ago.
And the fact that the news media turns, I guarantee you, I had the most disturbing conversation this week with a friend of mine who is on the other side of the political aisle. And I kid you not, Seb, I almost flew and like hit the ceiling. We were talking about how Joe Biden invited President Obama to the White House to see the unveiling of his presidential portrait. And I was hearing from my liberal friends that wouldn't it have been nice if Trump would have just invited President Obama to the White House for the unveiling? And boy, they can't wait to get things back to normal. And I said, well, you think Biden's going to invite Trump to the White House for the unveiling of his? Oh, yeah, I think so, because he seems like the kind of guy that would do that. And I went, okay. And I said, do you think that maybe the invite didn't come because, oh, I don't know, President Obama was spying on President Trump? Like, maybe there were some hurt feelings there. Maybe he didn't want to take a photo and put it up in the White House that had the wiggly eyes moving back and forth watching him as he goes. And I was told that the spying story had been debunked years ago. And I said, debunked? I mean, this is the whole controversy with the FISA warrants and the campaign was spied. No, it's been debunked. That did not happen. That was a Donald Trump lie. This is what the country thinks because they're only watching one news channel. They're only watching CNN.
Yeah.
Or they're only watching MSNBC. And they don't know the truth. So they're never going to know the story about Hunter Biden because the news media won't tell them.
I didn't make this point. Somebody else did, but I use it all the time. The fact is we know what they're doing. We know what they're saying. They have no idea what we're saying. Because they're the intolerant ones. She's Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Follow her right now at Jennifer Horn. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works. Don't listen to me. Listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I'm a believer, 100%. Incredible testimonies. See more of them at relieffactor.com and then understand how tens of thousands of Americans are getting their life back pain-free. Order your three-week quick starter pack right now. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. Yes, indeed. Shame on you. An amazing clip from the Loudoun County Public School Board meeting last night. And we saw somebody on the footage who's been on the show before. She's not a mama bear parent. She's a patriot teacher. And she's going to join our conversation with Jennifer Horn. Lilith Venetian, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for coming. I haven't spoken to you since then for coming on my show last week on Newsmax. If you're not watching it, you just can't have a good excuse. Sunday night, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern, watch the Gorka Reality Check. Lilith, describe to our millions of listeners and viewers right now what happened last night. How was that meeting?
Yes, sir. Last night was Loudoun County Public Schools' last and final school board meeting of the year. Keep in mind, this is the richest county in Virginia. We were notified via their public Twitter account that Loudoun Democrats were busing an activist to try and disrupt the school board meeting. Why, you may ask? Because last night, the school board was voting to vote on policy 8040 to allow transgenders into any bathroom, any locker room, to play in any sports they wish to play with your little daughter. With that being said, we had 259 speakers signed up to speak. They changed the meeting from 6:30 to 4 o'clock without publicly announcing it. We found out, we showed up in numbers. The first time the school board took a 5-minute recess is when we clapped. They did not like that. Then a transgender activist came and spoke and lashed out about Christians, called us Jesus followers, and lashed out on Christians, and the crowd started booing her. The school board took another 5-minute recess. They're going to cut off public comment if we continued to clap. The next speaker that came on that prompted them to take a break was former Senator of Virginia, Mr. Dick Black. He scorched the school board. The crowd clapped after him and cheered. The school board then took a vote 9-0 to remove public comment. The crowd went wild, and that is when the school board decided to get up and leave.
And afterwards, two of you were arrested. We had John Tiggs on the show earlier, along with Chantel Cooper. John was one of the two patriots arrested. Jennifer, your response, your questions to Lilith, the school board bust in, or somebody bust in activists, and then they tried to have it earlier, classic communist trick, and then to shut down the event. Your reaction?
Create the chaos so that you can shut it down and change the rules. I would love your reaction, Lilith. One of the things that I saw that I thought was kind of interesting was that the school board chair said that parents who showed up to offer their concern, that they were playing dog whistle politics. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're bringing in activists, what does that even mean? And what are they accusing parents of who are just trying to be good parents and question what the school board is putting out there for consumption?
Right. What are you as a teacher, and what are the parents being accused of? I'm curious.
Well, they feel threatened just by you simply disagreeing with them. They feel threatened, even more threatened by your presence. So this is just, you know, the louder that you get, the louder that they get. But there's more of us than there is of them.
This is a crucial point, and I don't know if you can answer this question. We're talking to Lilith Vanetzi, and follow her on Instagram, Teachers for Trump. That's teachers _FOR_Trump, Teachers for Trump. I am so excited by what I'm witnessing in Loudoun, in Bucks County, of all places, incredible, across the nation. And to me, it looks organic. Is anybody organizing you guys? Because if this is organic, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm. We have some incredible, incredible, brave and courageous parents in Loudoun County. We have formed, you know, a few groups. There's a couple of things going on. And so at this point, we're all one group. I mean, it started off just a handful of people showing up. It started off with just a handful of parents coming and speaking. But now we are an entire family. And as you know, Mr. Gorka, it's not just people from Loudoun County. There's people from the surrounding district, as myself, from Fairfax County, coming over and speaking. And the reason we do that is because if this can happen in the richest county in the country, this can happen anywhere, and it will.
Yeah, absolutely. Loudoun County is the richest country in America, and this is one of the places they're teaching the bigotry, the Marxist philosophy that is critical race theory. Jennifer, with your perspective of being a fighter for freedom for so long in California, what are the commonalities or lessons learned? How do you look at this? Does this make you think if it can happen here, we can even save California?
I feel like California is actually really a lot, very much in this fight of pushback. And Lilith and Seb, one of the things that California has been doing, Concern California parents and teachers, they've been promoting school choice as a way around these school boards and all of this indoctrination from the state, from the federal government, all of the layers. Is school choice being tossed around as a something that parents in your area, in your state, are interested in, Lilith?
Oh, I've got to tell you, in Fairfax County alone, Fairfax County has over 186,000 students. It's almost double the size of Loudoun County. This past year, we had about 8,000 to 10,000 families pull out of the district and start homeschooling them or place them into a private school. And I'm sure that number is even higher now since the last time I checked. We have significant high numbers in Loudoun County as well. So, yes, parents are taking their child's education into their own hands. They are finding other means and other alternatives to give them their child a safe and well-rounded education. And quite frankly, on the side, I'm working with those families. I'm going to their homes and I'm tutoring those kids.
this could be the best thing that comes out of the COVID virus. Parents waking up, pulling them out of the system and talking up, talking out at those school board meetings. We're talking to Jennifer Horn. Follow her at Jennifer Horn, the host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. And from Teachers for Trump, Lilith Venetian, a very, very brave teacher. In the last 60 seconds we have, I have to ask you, Lilith, if you want to share with our listeners and viewers, has there been a cost for you personally as a teacher in Fairfax taking the stand from a family that came to America from a former Soviet republic? Have you paid a price for what you're doing in terms of telling the truth?
I have not paid a price. And even if I do end up paying a price, quite frankly, I'm not going to waste my time and talk about that part because they can keep doing what they want to do. They will never cancel me. I'll go to another school. I'll start my own school. This fight will never be over, no matter how hard they come at me. So I will only focus on the positives that have come out of this, and the positives are that people have been speaking up, more teachers have been speaking up, and we have a great army here of awake patriots.
A great army.
I love her.
Isn't she great? And she's
in my
neck of the woods. Jeff has already said, we're going to get you in studio next week. We're going to get you and one of the parents, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to make that army even bigger. God bless you. Keep being that fighter. Follow her at teachers_FOR_Trump on Instagram. That's teachers_FOR_Trump. God bless you. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First with Jennifer Horn and Lilith Venetian. Next, Jenna Ellis. To reinstate or not to reinstate?
Truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
Reinstatement should be a good word, shouldn't it? Somebody gets justice, is reinstated as a result, but perhaps sometimes it's not a good word. I raised it with my podcast co-host, former White House colleague Boris Epstein on the latest, I think, episode 65, correct? Episode 65 of The Battle for 1600, because he's been making the rounds. He gave an interview where he said there is potentially a route, or he said, rather, it is not out of the question that President Trump can be reinstated. I pushed back as a layman. You've got to listen to the whole podcast. Fascinating discussion. The Battle for 1600. You can download it wherever you get your podcasts. But now, the other side of the story. Somebody else who makes news herself. Well, in part because she has her own show, Just the Truth. She is Jenna Ellis, former attorney to President Trump, and also the chair of the Election Integrity Alliance. I'm a member of that board, full disclosure. Follow her, Jenna Ellis, ESQ, on Twitter. Jenna, so Boris, for those who missed the clip we played or who haven't heard the podcast, listen to the whole podcast, who missed it, said the following. So I'm not a lawyer. Big caveat. He said, as a lawyer, Georgetown, fancy degree, said, the Constitution is a list of negative rights. It says what the government cannot do. It is not an enumeration of all the things it can do. Therefore, because it says or doesn't say that a president can't be reinstated, well, in that case, he could be theoretically. It's a theoretical argument. My pushback, and you can tell us whether he's wrong, I'm wrong, or the truth is somewhere in the middle as a constitutional lawyer and former professor. I look at the realpolitik of the situation, and I say there's only one way to remove a president from office. It is impeachment with a supermajority of the Senate. There is no reinstatement clause. And more practically, if I look at the last year, if I look at COVID, if I look at the Pennsylvania decision by the Supreme Court, if I look at the Texas decision, I see a bunch of cowards. cowards, except for two justices. I see hundreds of cowards at the state level, the municipal level, when we look at the courts and the judges. Therefore, I just say, this is a non-starter to begin with. Investigate the fraud, and whatever we find, we use it as political ammunition for 2024. But in the meantime, this is false hope. Where's the truth? Where do you stand on this?
It's absolutely false hope. And Boris, while he may be a JD lawyer, is not a constitutional expert. And absolutely, it's false what he said, that this is a matter of rights. No one has a right to be the president of the United States. No one has a right to office. We're not talking about negative rights versus positive rights here. That's something that he needs to clarify and understand further. What the text of the Constitution says, and the reason that this is not constitutional, is because the only way that a sitting U.S. president can be removed from office is through the impeachment and conviction process. We've talked about this a lot on your show, and I've talked a lot about it. And even if the political reality isn't what it is, which is that that's not going to happen, even if the political reality happened that Biden and Harris were both impeached and convicted, the 25th Amendment and the line of succession then triggers, and you can't put someone from outside the line of succession.
This is massively important. So let's stop here for a second. The line of succession issue that was raised by one of our team members. So if a president is removed, incapacitated, assassinated like JFK,
any way,
a brain aneurysm, then the Constitution is clear. If they are removed, you don't have an electoral college to choose. You don't have another election. What happens, Jenna? What is the line of succession mechanism?
Yeah, so then the mechanism is in the 25th Amendment, which, by the way, was because we want to have a stable government.
Right.
And in our history, when Reagan was shot and Congress was looking at this and, you know, the world was looking at this going, oh, we need to make sure that we don't just have a usurper that can come in from the outside for some reason if our president is out of office for any reason. We need to have a peaceful transition and a predictable path. And so the 25th Amendment was ratified and it provides the line of succession. And the next person, number three, is the Speaker of the House.
Right.
And that is a separation of powers because the executive branch, it doesn't just go through the executive. It actually goes then over to the legislative
branch. And then back and forth.
And then back and forth.
To members of the cabinet.
Sure. And that's right. And amendments then, when they are ratified, become part of the Constitution in no less than any other part of the Constitution.
And that is the mechanism. If you get rid of Joe Biden, sorry, the Constitution, you don't get to choose the next mechanism. It's Kamala Harris. If Kamala Harris is incapacitated, Lord preserve us, it would be Nancy. We're talking to Jenna Ellis. We will continue.
Okay.
I have a post. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
I know you've tried to forget it. The 8 years of Obama, the instability, the state of the economy, ISIS, Russia invading Ukraine, open borders. But we're already there again. Look at just what happened with that Russian military engagement, live ammunition against a British member, a British vessel. Look at 2 million people coming across our border illegally, the cyber attacks against our oil industry. Are you ready for the next attack? What if it's not our gas stations, our energy supply? What if it's our food supply? What if it's our banking system? Do you understand that the local grocery has 72 hours worth of stock? After that, that's it. It is empty shelves. Can you feed your family if there's a cyber attack on our food supply? I can. Why? Because the biggest, most successful, best supplier of long-term storage food, Well, I've bought months' worth of food supply for my family. It lasts for 25 years, and right now you're going to get $50 off your first month's supply if you order through My Patriot Supply using my link. Do it today. Never be in a position as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather, not to be able to feed your family. You know it's your responsibility. Do it today. Go to preparewithgorka.com for your discount, $50 off your first month's supply. I bought multiple months, so we are good. Mac and cheese ready to roll. Go to preparewithgorka.com. That's preparewithgorka.com. It is your primary responsibility to your loved ones. Be ready. Prepare with Gorka.com. We are back. We are talking about the big issues. I love it. I'm not a lawyer. I took a couple of international law courses for my master's degree. I loved it. But we have a real professional, first former attorney to the president. She's the chair of the Election Integrity Alliance, Jenna Ellis. Jenna, you were about to say something before I so rudely had to pay the rent. The line of succession. Talk to us about why we're so happy about the constitutional limitations on who can be president.
Right, we should be, because let's remember that when the Democrats were trying multiple times to impeach Donald Trump, our response to that was, well, then you'd get Pence, you know?
Yeah, tough. Bring it.
Yeah, and we also were very happy during the 4 years of Trump when the Democrats were trying so hard to get Trump out of office that there was no way, absolutely no way, that Hillary Clinton, as a failed candidate, even though she, you know, she won the popular vote, well, who cares? We have the Electoral College. We all did that. We said, this is why the Electoral College, our system, our process matters. There's no way Hillary Clinton can come back and can come into office, come into office. And we were constitutionalists. We cannot be the flip-floppers like the Democrats. And just when it serves our purposes, I would love more than anyone to see President Trump back in office. Yeah. But we have to remain principled Americans. We can't give this sort of hopium of saying, well, just because the Constitution doesn't expressly forbid it, then, well, it does, because the plain text and the language of the Constitution specifically provides for impeachment as the only removal system, the Electoral College as the mechanism by which we install a president, and then the 25th Amendment, the line of succession. Now, if the Supreme Court were to do something outrageous, I don't think the practical reality is that they ever will.
So let's stop here for a second, because this is the other. You know me, I don't care. Theories are fun, but at the end of the day, if a theory doesn't make any difference in real life, you're just wasting time.
But the theory is important, because we have to be constitutional, so we have to be principled.
But let's play the theory out into reality. Here's a scenario which is not unlikely at all. If you look at what we are hearing, you're hearing as the chairperson, the events, the impending things happening in Georgia. What happens? What is your argument for what should happen and what can happen if we have more than requisite evidence of more than 41,000 fraudulent ballots in the battleground states, which would have been enough to overturn the Electoral College results or provide the 270 mandate for President Trump? What happens in, let's say, a year from now if we have empirical evidence and some brave judges have said, yeah, that ballot, that you know, those 10,000 there, that
right.
10,000 are just, they're so not. So what should happen?
What should happen at that point is that the House, if they were not being so political, they should impeach and remove Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And we should also, through our justice system, hold accountable the people who broke the law. We should not reelect people in Georgia like Brad Raffensperger or Kemp, who just turned a blind eye and said, not my responsibility. We should look at the state legislatures. We need to go back through litigation and through legislation and put back in these safeguards. But we also have to remain principled and say that even though the Electoral College process happened in and this really sucks that 2020 was so corrupt, it's basically a statute of limitations issue, because that once the Electoral College votes, that is the process. That process wasn't corrupted.
So this is something that you helped me with previously.
And listen to that segment, by the way. You and I talked about this.
And I'd like to be more explicit about it for the millions of people who've just tuned in now. The Electoral College, and you don't have to like this, but when the Electoral College counts the votes, when they are sent physically to D.C., when the president of the Senate, the incumbent vice president, tallies the votes and announces them, in layman's terms,
that's
decision
the only vote that matters.
Carved in stone. It is undoable. Yes?
Yes. And that's the Electoral College delegates voting and Congress accepting and ratifying that vote. That's the only vote that matters. Before 1824, our state legislatures didn't have the majority of them didn't even accept the popular vote as the manner in selecting their delegates. So it doesn't actually matter to the constitutional process what happened in the states. It matters to us and it matters moving forward. But what actually matters constitutionally to the selection of a president is the Electoral College delegates voting and being ratified. That happened. And we cannot advocate to undo that system because, let's remember, if that could have happened, the Democrats would have tried to do it to Trump. Do we really Yes. want that precedent? We have to remain principled constitutionalists. We have to look at the remedy here being to never let it happen again.
Jenna Ellis is giving us The Truth. It's a good name for a show, Just The Truth. She is the chair of the Election Integrity Alliance. You can find out more at AmericanGreatnessFund.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, are you in pain? Have you tried everything else only to not find relief? If that's the case, you've got to try this incredible product from the father and son team of Pete and Seth Talbot. Just listen to Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Powerful words. Find out for yourself. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. You know it makes sense. ReliefFactor.com. 800-500-8384. $19.95 for your three-week quick starter pack. That translates to just less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? I tell you what, potential liberation from your pain. Isn't that worth it? I think you know the answer to that question. You do, don't you? 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
No violence, no hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
We're chatting in the breaks as you do. Quick question I want to ask in front of our millions of listeners. How do you like your masculinity? Toxic or extra toxic?
Extra toxic.
Extra toxic. Because she's a real woman. Yeah. She's a real woman. She likes her men to be extra toxic. We were having a great time in New York 3 weeks ago, walking down the sidewalk. And who was her security detail? Who was it? Me or 6'3" of me, and then former police commissioner for New York, Bernie Kerik, on the other side. That's pretty cool. We should have had a photograph of you just walking down the
sidewalk.
We
should have, because I was so confident. I'm like, I've got the two most toxic men in America that are so amazing.
And I've got New York.
And yeah, and I was like, I'm good.
All right.
It was fabulous. So thank you. In front of all of your listeners, for your toxic masculinity. I so appreciate it.
I revel in my toxic. I am the cyanide of masculinity. Okay. Jenna Ellis, talk to us about your additional responsibilities. I'm a member of your board. You're one of my bosses now under the American Greatness Fund. Check it out, AmericanGreatnessFund.com. There is the Election Integrity Alliance. I love that word, alliance, at the end. What's the mission? How can people find out more and support you?
Yes. So go to AmericanGreatnessFund.com and you will see the Election Integrity Alliance. We are a project under that fund. And the goal is to ally everyone who has the same goal, which is to make it easy to vote, hard to cheat. And we want to make sure.
I like that tagline.
Thank you.
Yeah. Easy to vote, hard to cheat.
I mean, shouldn't every American want this,
sounds
right?
Sounds like, you know, fairness and
transparency like all the good qualities of, you know, our sacrosanct vote. Yeah, and so
what are we doing? What is the board doing?
So we are congregating all of the allies that are working on various things in not only the swing states, but also in on the federal level. So just
How many organizations?
We have over 60 organizations that are allies. And you can go to AmericanGreatnessFund.com. You can sign up for our press releases. You can sign up for If you want to be an ally, you can also sign up to donate and to give so that we can go and testify on different bills. I'm working with a couple of state legislatures right now on texts of bills that will be forthcoming. We'll testify on those. We'll give them education. So we're giving them the tools and resources, but also having a central hub of a scorecard. And just yesterday, S1 failed 50-50 in the Senate, and that's great.
We've got seconds left, and I wanted to ask you exactly about S1 failing the filibuster. It was 50 votes instead of 61.
Thankfully.
But this is just a small victory. They're not going to give up.
Oh, of course not. But this was the Democrats' latest attempt to try to control the states and harness power. And they want to control elections so that they can continue to cheat. And we stopped it because there are good patriots like all of your listeners who are requiring their representatives in Congress. They're holding them accountable. People like Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema, call your legislators. Make sure election integrity matters. AmericanGreatnessFund.com.
Just the idea that you have a partisan rewriting of our federal election laws, sheer insanity. She's Janet Ellis. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.